I stayed in Paris until late yesterday afternoon and was one of the last three British journalists to leave the capital. We left because there were no further communications available. But that last day in Paris was unforgettable. It was only the day before that things really began to change, that the war really seemed to have come to Paris. A small party of us lunched at one of Paris's most famous restaurants. When we paid the bill, the head waiter told us that it was the last meal they'd be serving for the time being. It was the same thing at dinner at another restaurant. Our hotel let us stay the Tuesday night on the understanding that there would be no service. But we were very glad of the opportunity because almost every hotel in Paris had closed. The next morning, we got up to a city which was a city of the dead. A Paris which no one has ever seen before. Scarcely a single shop was open. But what chiefly struck me, I think, was that two of the great features were missing. There were no newspapers, and scarcely a single cafe was open. Breakfast in the hotel was out of the question. So my two colleagues and I went out in search of somewhere we could get a cup of coffee. After a long search, we found one. And we sat on the deserted terrace outside and ordered our breakfast. We were in war correspondent's uniform. After we'd been sitting there for a short time, a man came up. He said, "You're English, aren't you?" We said we were. He said he was, too. And could we do anything about getting his wife and himself out of Paris? We told him we weren't certain when we were going ourselves. And anyway, we only had one car, and with ourselves and our luggage, there was absolutely no room. I said, "Have you tried the British consulate?" He said he had, but they could promise nothing whatever. Another man came up. He, too, was an Englishman and was in exactly the same position. A few yards away, sitting on a bench on the side of the boulevard, was another English family, a retired colonel and his wife and daughter. We'd seen them the day before, and it had been the same story. Could we do anything to help them? And there'd been nothing we could do. And now they were sitting on this bench with a pile of luggage beside them, as though they were waiting for a phantom bus which we knew and they knew would never turn up. After breakfast, I went round to my office. I spoke to the concierge as I went in. "Anybody about?" "No, monsieur, you're the only person in the block." It seemed almost unbelievable. I drove round Paris, round all its famous streets. Every shop in the Rue de la Paix had its shutters up, and every other street too, almost. All the post offices were closed. There were all the banks except some of the foreign ones. I drove up the Champs-Élysées. It was quite unrecognizable. Scarcely a soul was walking along the pavement. All the cafes were closed. Down the middle, a few belated refugees drove their cars stacked with baggage and household belongings. But at the top, by the unknown soldier's grave under the Arc de Triomphe, the lamp was still burning. And then back to my office to put through some telephone calls. Because for days now it has been impossible to telephone from hotels or cafes. Not that that would have helped much that morning. And then I walked down the Boulevard de la Madeleine. As I got near the cafe where we'd had breakfast that morning, I saw the same group of English people I'd seen before. I'm afraid, like the Pharisee, I crossed over to the other side of the street. There was nothing in the world I could do for them, and I was in a hurry. But one of them saw me. He ran across the road and told me that they were all right, that a British railway official had arranged to have a special carriage hitched onto a train going to a French port. He added that one Englishwoman had a car which she wanted to sell, and did I know of anyone who wanted one? I said, yes, I certainly did. I had an American friend who'd been searching Paris for days for one. The car was an Austin 7, and the American is a very large man. But within 10 minutes, the quickest car sale I ever saw took place. And at any rate, it's got him here safely enough. And so, later in the afternoon, I left Paris. A sad, deserted Paris, which I never want to see again like that. But the emptiness was confined to the center of the city, because as we drove out through some of the workmen's suburbs, the streets were as crowded as ever. The people there are staying on in their jobs. They're there to keep France's factories.